The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
The Affordable Housing Bill will bridge the affordability gap for first-time buyers. That's according to Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. It's a view not shared by the opposition, who feel it will only benefit developers while driving house prices even higher. Now, to go through the pros and cons of the bill, I'm joined by Social Democrats housing spokesperson Cian O'Callaghan and by real estate agent Owen Riley. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, Cian, the opposition has been loud-voiced in opposing what the minister is suggesting. He says it's only one of a number of tools. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, well, I think firstly, it's important to say it's not just the opposition, the ESRI, the central bank, the housing agency, senior officials in the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform have all voiced the very same concerns that a scheme like this actually will push up house prices rather than deliver real affordability. And subsidies can actually often have that effect if you introduce a subsidy rather than it you know, creating a, you know, a drive down in costs, it can lead to an increase in prices. So this is based on a similar scheme that was in the UK. The scheme in the UK, and a good bit of analysis has been done of it, and that has shown that rather than it being a targeted support of people who needed support in terms of affordable housing, actually what it led to is it led to people availing of this subsidy and buying, you know, larger and more expensive homes for first-time buyers. Just to give you one example, in the northeast of England, the average price for a home for a first-time buyer was about £110,000, but first-time buyers availing of the scheme were forking out on average about £180,000 for a new-build home. So that's
yeah, but did it push the price up, or were they simply able to get a better quality home? I mean, that they suddenly look at this scheme and say, well, I've got more money to spend. I'll buy something better than I had hoped for. But I've looked at the analysis of the scheme because we covered it on the programme, Cian, and it said in London, for example, it pushed prices up because of the scarcity there. In places like Wales, it didn't do that because there's loads of land and it worked maybe as it was proposed to do. So we might expect the same thing here, that it might work in Sligo and Donegal or Leitrim or Cavan, but it probably won't work in Dublin.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the key problems. So rather than focusing on increasing supply and supply where it's needed most, it provides a subsidy that, you know, exactly what happened in the UK is in the peripheral areas, we saw a lot of the take-up of the scheme, whereas where there was a shortage of housing, a shortage of affordable homes, it wasn't utilised. So it was actually exactly, it was in the parts of the country where housing was at its most affordable, such as the northeast of England, is where you had the biggest take-up of this.
Minister says it's a relatively small cohort of housing and it's a toe in the water. Perhaps he wants to wait and see whether it does have that effect. But there are other elements here too. There's the cost rental model. And I'm a bit mystified by this because the whole idea is that you charge a rent that covers only the cost of building, I presume it's amortised over a 20-year period, plus the cost of maintenance. Who's actually building the cost rental?
Well, where cost rental works well is if it's built by not-for-profit bodies or approved housing bodies. So that is the model that should be pursued here, because if you're taking out that element...
No, but do we know who's doing it this year? I mean, this is an announcement, or who's going to do it over the next 2 years?
So there's a small amount being built at the moment in Ireland, and it is being done by not-for-profit approved housing bodies. It's not being done on the sort of scale that's needed. And actually, one of the problems with this bill is that the main amount of funding is going to the shared equity scheme rather than into supporting things like cost rental. So cost rental is, you could be, you know, if it's done well, you could be looking at much lower rents than you'll have in the private sector. And it's a really good option for people who maybe wouldn't qualify for social housing, would be above those thresholds, but really wouldn't be able to afford full market rents. And the idea of it as well is that it's self-sustaining. So over time, the money from those schemes goes back into them and you're able to grow the amount of cost rental renting over a period of time. It's worked very well in places like Vienna and other parts of Europe. And I think that is a good model. The issue I would have is that there really isn't enough emphasis being put on it.
Yeah. And now, one of the criticisms, and it's been articulated by both Owen Brin of Sinn Féin and yourself, is the business of a house. Because the caps have been set, I should mention that the minister has set caps to which will apply the shared equity scheme. In other words, if the house costs or apartment costs more than the cap, you can't avail of the shared equity scheme. And the ceiling, the highest ceiling, is for apartments in Dublin City and in Dunleary at 500,000 and houses at 450,000 in Dublin City or Dunleary. They're the caps. If it costs more than that, you can't avail of this scheme. Looking around the property market in certain areas of Dublin City and in certain areas of Dunleary, you'd be hard-pressed to find properties at these prices.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue with the scheme, is that rather than looking at ways of delivering housing at more affordable rates, it's looking at subsidising already high prices. So one of the schemes that is working very well at the moment, but just isn't being done on scale, is the Cúlán Housing Alliance are building genuinely affordable homes. They're at prices. They're doing this in North County Dublin. They've done it in Poppentry and Ballymun. Yeah. There's the scheme.
They're
in
doing
Cork,
it on a subsidy, though, because of the land. That's the key. If someone has to buy the land at commercial prices, the Cúlán model would deliver at a much higher price. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
So sometimes people like you quote a price, a really low price for a house, and then it turns out that the land was for nothing. You know, that's not comparing like with like. That's apples with oranges.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, the land isn't at nothing, but that is a key point you make. It is about getting land in at a very good price. And that can be done, and it's done very well again in other countries where land speculation is taken out of when it comes to affordable housing, is taken out of the equation. And that's what, we should be doing at a scale here. And it goes back to the Kenny report from the 70s, the idea that you would buy up agricultural land at existing land use value plus a margin for the landowner, and then you would use that land for housing at affordable rates. And I think that is key. If we want to have housing, and not at, available for people, not at that kind of rate of, half a million euro for an apartment, you would absolutely have to have a supply of land that is affordable.
That is constitutionally possible. You go to a farmer and say, I'm having this, thank you. We reckon it's, 10,000 an acre or whatever for your nice pasture land, and we'll give you a profit of whatever they decide. Thank you very much. We'll have it. That would end up in the courts, I'm sure, for years.
I would imagine it would end up with legal action on it. This has been looked at quite a few times. There was a previous Oireachtas group looking at it, and the conclusions have been, the majority views have been, that you could do this under the current constitution. And I mean, if necessary, and there is the programme for government, there's a commitment on a referendum on the right to housing. So, that would strengthen, it would, be a balance between the very strong property rights as well, that we'd also, in terms of legislation or policy, would need to consider people's access to housing as well. Yeah. So that should be done. But certainly the majority view is that you could do that under the existing constitution.
Yeah. Do you give the minister no credit at all for attempting to replace something that exists for some, the privileged, and not for others, and that is the bank of mom and dad? In other words, many people buy these expensive apartments and houses because they get a dig out from their parents, but there are many people whose parents cannot do that. So the minister comes along and he throws up to 20% of the asking price of a house up to the cap, and effectively, bails people out, allows them to get into the property market, and hopefully circumstances will improve, and by the time they come to maybe scale up a bit with a growing family, their circumstances will have improved, and they buy out the state loan, that kind of thing. Do you give the minister no credit for that effort?
Yeah, I think this has to be tackled, and you're absolutely right that, home ownership shouldn't just be for people on, very high incomes or are able to get, help from their parents. There's a whole range of people on reasonably decent incomes that cannot afford to buy now. So that has to be tackled. Has to be done in a way that doesn't actually increase house prices. And we know from the UK that that's exactly what happened on this. And in fact, the profits of large developers in the UK, their share prices in the 4 years after this scheme was introduced, their share prices increased by 230%. The property development industry has lobbied very heavily for this scheme in Ireland since the general election, and they've gotten what, it looks like they're getting what they're lobbying for.
Yeah.
But
now,
they keep on coming looking for changes and saying,
one
it's not
further,
viable to build.
One further point, and it's a point that's aggravating so many people, and that is the purchase of entire housing estates or entire apartment blocks by big, well-moneyed funds, be they international or domestic. And it is quite apparently the minister and his predecessor took their eyes off the ball. I remember Owen Murphy saying that these build-to-rent schemes were just a handful. He actually misunderstood. The permissions might have been a handful, but the number of units when totted up turned out to be enormous. And ever since that time, the tendency to build to rent rather than for sale has grown and grown and grown. Isn't it about time the minister put a stop to this?
100%. The favourable tax treatment on it should go. We should be looking at what they're doing in Germany, where these real estate investment trusts were actually banned from buying up apartments and homes. They're allowed investment into commercial property. I think you're absolutely right. This has become dominant. This is the dominant way now to deliver housing, because ultimately, if an investor can get the best return by doing a build-to-rent scheme or you know, homes, which is then bought by an international investment fund and then rented out for, you know, for continuing years. If that's their best return, that's what they're going to do. And the entire thing, delivery structure, is now structured in a way that certainly in more built-up areas, that this is the best return for investors. So,
but it's crazy. It's crazy that, yeah, that you have a situation where these developers and these real estate funds, so the developer builds and then sells to one customer instead of having all the tedium of selling to Mary and John or Emma and Michael or whatever it might be. All they do is sell to one customer. Isn't that really handy for them? They take their money and they run away. And then the real estate fund looks at the you know, 250 houses they have or whatever, and they say, oh, well, the rents are going to be half paid by the councils anyway with HAP. So yeah, everyone's laughing at us, the taxpayer, funding all of this stuff. It's an outrage.
No, and that exactly is part of the problem, and the long-term leasing as well. So an investor knows if they buy up one of these schemes and if they can't achieve a market rent on all of the homes, they know that they can then do a long-term lease with the council or the state for, you know, 20 or 30% of them. They also know, yeah, that they'll have some of the market rents subsidised by HAP. So it's a kind of a win-win, you know, that they know that they have those guarantees behind them. And it's incredibly bad value for the taxpayer. And it also means, you know, in the long term, we're putting billions into these kind of subsidies that are keeping rents up at a quite a high level, rather than investing in solutions that are long term. And, you know, as long as we're caught in short term thinking on this, we're going to continue to have these sorts of problems. We have to build in that kind of, you know, those long term measures. That's actually incidentally why things like cost rental are very good, because over the long term, you build up a stock of, you know, affordable, self-sustaining, self-financing, you know, homes that can be rented or whatever. Right. And it is a good model that's worked elsewhere.
Okay, Cian, thank you very much for joining us. That's Cian O'Callaghan, Social Democrats housing spokesperson, listening to that conversation, real estate agent Owen Riley. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Talk us through the way the market is at the moment. Are prices stable? Are they going up? Have they fallen?
Well, the pent-up demand has been building in the market since before Christmas, and steadily month on month, that demand is coming onto the market. That where supply is very low, historically low, according to myhome.ie. That's not surprising given the restrictions on viewings, which have been in place since the middle of January. Thankfully, restrictions on viewings are being lifted next week, and I think that will help. Another thing will help with the vaccine rollout is you're going to see older vendors coming to feeling much more comfortable coming to market now, and that will hopefully pick up increase the supply of homes. But according to our data in April, it is tough for buyers right now. Average selling prices are about 4.5% above asking, which would indicate a seller's market at the moment.
Now, the question of building to rent, we know in Dockland, and you're very familiar there, you're very active in the Dockland area of Dublin. We know there are buildings that are not fully occupied by any means. Headline rents are very high, and it seems that the developers or the owners are happy to leave apartments vacant rather than bring the price of rentals down. But this tendency of building to rent, for someone like you, okay, you're probably in the rental market as well, but basically you'd like to sell homes. What's it going to do to your business if you can't find properties to sell?
Sure. I suppose that is one consequence of the emergence of the build-to-rent sector. But I don't think anyone's going to be concerned about an estate agent's view on that. I suppose what I would say, Pat, the Society of Chartered Surveyors did an analysis on the development cost of an apartment in the city centre in Docklands area. And that worked out at up to €619,000. Now, that price is obviously well beyond the reach of most owner-occupiers. So I think, really, in short, a lot of these developments wouldn't be delivered unless there was funds buying the entire block. And you know, it is important to remember that the build-to-rent sector has a huge role to play in alleviating the housing crisis that we have, in delivering thousands of high-quality apartments for professionals working in the city centre. Yes, it is fair to say that temporarily COVID-19 has had a big impact on that sector because of lockdown measures and travel restrictions and work from home initiatives. But that market will pick up again. I suppose what's different about what we read in Maynooth is a fund buying suburban housing, and you know, that is something that is now starting to emerge. Yeah. But it shouldn't be forgotten.
No one has an issue with large blocks where transient workers will be coming and going and so on, and maybe, you know, city centre living is for the young primarily, not necessarily for families, although one would hope that would change a bit. But it's that business of, you know, in an area where you get a developer comes in, builds some monstrosity in a neighbourhood and then doesn't make anything available in the monstrosity for sale, but forces the locals who want to live in the area only to rent, never to own. I mean, that's the tragedy of all of this. It's a completely skewed system.
Yes, it's very tough for owner-occupiers who don't get the options of buying in these developments. But I think, ultimately, I think build-to-rent, we need thousands of apartments, as I said, for rent. The design and cost of these developments by nature means that they're expensive. They're expensive to buy an apartment in. Also, the management charges tend to be very high as well. And, you know, I think that Keane talked about kind of short-term measures. I think we need a series of short-term and long-term measures. I think what I would say about the shared equity scheme is that is going to bridge the gap for many owner-occupiers now to get them on the ladder, because, you know, there are a number of first-time buyers in particular who are paying high rents, but because of the central bank lending restrictions, which I think we're all in favour of, they just can't get on the ladder. And I think this scheme, and to just put it in context, as the Minister said, the state fund initially for this is $75 million in a mortgage market worth $11 billion. So this is, in the short term, this is going to help owner-occupiers, people trading down from you know, people getting divorced, but also first-time buyers. And as mentioned, it may mean for some couples, instead of buying a two-bed, maybe they'll buy a three-bed, and they'll be able to, and that's a more long-term sustainable option for them. So I think right now, young people who are locked out of the market need help to get on the ladder, and this scheme is going to help them do that.
All right. Very good. Owen Riley, real estate agent, with one view of the scheme, and before that, Keane O'Callaghan, Social Democrats housing spokesperson, with another view of the minister's new scheme. Thank you both very much.